Like, when you were these kids' age in high school, what were some of the things that you were doing in high school before you joined the service?
Well, that's a long time ago, but a lot of the things that I was doing, I was participating in extracurricular activities through sports. I was on the track team. I was in football and baseball, you know, just keeping busy with that. As far as academics, I didn't take too many AP courses. I don't know if that wasn't, you know, something I was interested in, or maybe I just didn't have time. But I did enjoy, obviously, participating on the student council. I was on that for the last year, my senior year of high school. I think that was a push to try to get a little bit more leadership experience. That might have been something that helped me out with my career in the Air Force.
Okay, and so did you have any other members of your family that were in the military before you made this decision?
The only person that is in my mom's side or my dad's side that was in the military is my grandfather. He was in the Navy. And other than that, no, I'm the only one still to this day that on either side that's in the military. I do have a few cousins that are in the service. One of them is in the Coast Guard, and then another one just recently graduated from the Naval Academy last year, which was great because I'm out here in the D.C. area, so I was able to go attend the graduation with them.
Would you be able to tell us anything about any advanced training?
Sure. So some of the more advanced training after basic training is what they call technical school. At tech school, you whatever your career field is, mine was 13 weeks long, and it was still at San Antonio, Texas, at Lackland Air Force Base. That's where they taught you more about how you become a military police officer. So they have various courses on pulling people over for traffic stops. They have a interaction training where essentially you have to meet with somebody, maybe on a call that they received at a house, and there's actually these built-in little fake houses that you have to go into and act like you're actually responding. So it's more of a hands-on process than it is a book learning process. And it also teaches you about deployments and various things that you could encounter while you're over there. Security Forces is responsible for military training. The military working dogs. So they also have you interact with them as well, so that way you get more comfortable if a military canine comes out to the call to do a around of the vehicle to sniff it for potential controlled substances, and also for chasing down suspects that are running away. It's also something that they would do as well. As far as advanced training, that's really all you do on the enlisted side. Sometimes you go to specialized school, and I did go to a specialized school that helped me out for a deployment.
So how did you feel when you were shipping out?
So I didn't get deployed until 2008. So I initially arrived to Barksdale Air Force Base in 2004. And after transitioning from job to job, from response force member, which was the flight line, the weapons storage area security, I did go to an extra training it's a long name. It's called Base and Installation Security Systems Operator Course. And that trained me to monitor cameras and alarm systems for the flight line area. And so anytime someone would walk up to the fence and shake the fence, there's actually an alarm that's built into the fence that would send a signal back to the control center, which where I would receive the signal and see it up on a map of the installation and tell people to respond out to there. So that was a specialized training that I went to that ultimately qualified me for the deployment that I went on in 2008. I also did some training there as well for out in Nellis, Nevada, which is just outside of Las Vegas. And they essentially set up a desert facility, kind of like what you'd be going out to if you're going to Iraq or Afghanistan. And they teach you all the ins and outs of doing patrol outside of a vehicle, patrolling on foot, and clearing out buildings. But essentially... the job that I was talking about, that Base and Installation Security Systems Operator course, qualified me to be the Tactical Automated Security Systems Administrator. So it's another long name. They like long names. But that one, essentially, while I was deployed at Balad Air Base, Iraq, it's about 30 miles north or so of Balad, Iraq. I was there for 6 months and did that job. I was the Tactical Automated Security Systems Administrator there. Essentially, same thing, just monitoring the security alarms for the entire flight line.
What were your first impressions of Iraq?
It's hot. Yeah, so that's probably the first thing you notice when you get off the plane. As far as, you know, when I was there in 2008, you know, obviously with a number of years since the initial push in Iraq that happened in 2003, so there wasn't any direct fire that I received. Majority of the things that we experienced there was indirect fire, which would be like mortars or rockets. A number of those came in during my time when I was there, but nothing close to me, you know, maybe a few hundred yards away. And so we had hardened facilities that we stayed in for our work centers. And then our sleeping facilities were like construction trailers that had concrete walls and barriers along each side of them to make sure that if a mortar or a rocket were to try to come into the base, that we would be protected.
The notes you gave me said you were deployed for 6 months in Iraq, is that correct?
February of 2008 to August of 2008.
What was the mission in your mind as you were in Iraq?
A lot of it was dealing with the transition and training the Iraqi security forces to establish their own base. When I was there, we were still in the middle of that transition phase. So the Army and Air Force had control of the base, but the Iraqi security forces and Iraqi Army did operate on the base as well. My particular role wasn't necessarily to train those folks, but was to make sure that the Army or other Air Force members who were training them had at least a perimeter around them to make sure that nobody would come in. So the mission wasn't necessarily to go into different places or to seek out insurgents or terrorists or anything like that. At the time that I went, it was more just establishing security and making sure that we can train the Iraqi armies.
So what was the key? I mean, as a teacher, I'm always curious about training techniques. What was maybe the best technique you found in helping with that training mission?
A lot of it deals with expectations and also trying to have them buy into why you're there. When another host nation or force is in your country, you don't want them there forever. So we try to at least relate to them that this is a way for us to get them to build up their own forces and also have a sense of, you know, purpose in maintaining security for their own countrymen. A lot of it just dealt with making sure that they knew that we weren't there permanently and we were trying to just, you know, help them out either with resources, supplies, training, and things like that.
So basically, as we talk a lot, you were on some sports teams back at Slinger and these students as well. Teamwork must have been very important to your job there.
Certainly. Obviously, on any team, it's important to have each other's backs, you know, regardless of the scenario. So I think the one thing that I definitely enjoy about being in the military is the sense of camaraderie, the sense of togetherness. We all have a common goal in mind, although it might be a lofty, like larger goal. We're all there doing a particular part of that mission to make sure that we can secure our skies above us, as well as the country as a whole.
So my last question about that time in Iraq would be, we're communicating over, you know, distance right now. How did you communicate with people back home for like your loved ones?
Sure. So back in 2008, Facebook, I think, was just starting up, but a lot of us were still on MySpace. So MySpace was the primary communication tool. There wasn't a whole lot of video chat features that were available at that time. So we still had a calling card that we would call back to the States and, you know, talk to our parents or loved ones. So it certainly is much different now to be able to see face-to-face and interact. Nowadays, your deployment, depending on where you are, it could be just like we're doing right now and just being able to talk freely.
Yeah. So before we go to the law part and when you return home, I'm looking at your notes, and there's a lot of promotions here. And so that's relatively quick time period to be promoted so many times. So I guess for the students' benefit, with them thinking about, you know, their careers too, was there any tips you'd give them for how you were able to get promoted so many times?
Sure. So initially, when you enter into the service, you're assigned the lowest rank that's there. That was Airman Basic is what I was assigned. I did sign up for a 6-year commitment, so you can usually sign up for 4 or for 6 years. And so by signing up for 6, you get advancement 6 months early. So I was able to, as soon as I graduated from technical training, I was able to put on the third rank. So I actually skipped E2, and that's part of the agreement that I signed up for that allows you to go from E1, Airman Basic, to Airman First Class, which is the third rank in the Air Force. And after you've had that rank on for, I think it's 10 months, you're eligible to be put up for either senior airman below the zone, which is an opportunity if you're doing well enough in your career field and also satisfying all the requirements that are necessary for you for training, you can be put up for that. And so I was initially put up for that. And it's usually a smaller percentage of folks that get it. I didn't get it, but I still was able to put on my senior airman stripe relatively quickly. So it was only about 3 years or so after you initially put on the Airman First Class that allows you to do that. So from July 2004 to March of 2007 was that time frame. After E4 in the Air Force, you do have to test for the next promotion. So by virtue of when I put on senior airman, I was eligible to test the next cycle, and I made it on my first try, obviously putting in the time and effort and studying Air Force history, culture, and then also for your particular job, there's a test for that as well, just making sure that you maintain proficiency. And so I ultimately was able to put on staff sergeant in 2009. That's the rank that I got out with. I think I included in there, but I did separate entirely from the Air Force in 2010. To seek my education. So I decided to get out and wanted to see what else was available to me. I used the GI Bill for my undergrad and a portion of that for law school, and then decided to come back in the service eventually.